Good morning. Welcome each of you to the Lord's house as we're privileged this morning to worship God on this Pentecost Sunday, which celebrates the birth of the Church of Jesus Christ. This afternoon, we hope you'll all join us in the all-church picnic on the church's back lawn at 4 o'clock. Please bring your favorite potluck dish to share. Also, if it does happen to rain, we will just simply move into the fellowship hall. But if it does not happen to rain, you might want to bring a lawn chair or something to sit in as well. Please take a look at the announcements in the bulletin announcement page and learn about the food pantry needs and the activities underway at Berry Christian Church, including the bag ladies meetings on Tuesdays and the outreach committee meeting this Monday evening, and education committee will meet next Tuesday, the 14th. Next Sunday will be our Sunday school promotion day as our children and youth will progress to their next grade levels, and registration for Vacation Bible School in July is also underway now. Please also note the registration information for the golf tournament supporting the Northland Assistance Center that is scheduled for Saturday, July 30th. All right, may we begin our service of worship with our call to worship. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, everyone. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. The times and occasions are set by God's own authority, and it is not for us to know when they will be.
But when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we will be filled with power.
And will be witnesses for Christ in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria.
And to the ends of the earth.
Thanks be to God. We'll now sing stanzas 1 and 4 of number 237 on Pentecost They Gathered.
On Pentecost They Gathered quite early in the day. Christ's disciples to worship, sing, and pray. A mighty wind came blowing, filled all the swirling air, and tongues of fire aglowing inspired each person.
Loving God, spring is always a nice time for a picnic, and we thank you for the spring-like weather today. We also give thanks for the nurturing rains of the past week. As we journey through the seasons of Easter and Eastertide and now into Pentecost, we once again celebrate the variety of seasons we experience here at Berry Christian Church. We also give thanks, as always, for this safe place of worship, where we can gather here as a church family and welcome our visitors openly, to come as they are, and to worship and fellowship with us without judgment. And now as we begin our worship service, we seek the presence of the Holy Spirit as we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Glory be to the Father. Now and ever shall we.
take a few moments to greet and welcome those around us this morning. All right, we'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of page 190, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear, things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Louder, I can't hear you.
Good morning, good morning.
We're always so shy up here. Believe me, they are not shy. Y'all need to come down and watch them when they're running around downstairs. Huh? Yeah. Today, we are celebrating what they call Pentecost. Do you know what that is? Do you know what that's for? Well, that's the day when Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to his disciples. Remember, we've studied before about the little flames that danced above their heads? That's what today is. Pentecost actually just means 50. So, whoa! No falling and injuring yourself, Miss Victoria. So what have I got here? What's this?
A picnic basket.
Well, yeah, but it's a picnic basket, but what's in it? Fruits.
Never mind. I don't like the crap. Fruits. We're going to study about fruit. I wonder how that works with the Holy Spirit. Because in the Bible, it says that when you receive the Holy Spirit into your life, the Spirit guide and direct you.
Thank you, Kathy. As we go to God in prayer, a number of folks for us to keep in prayer this week. First of all, our sympathies extended to Wanda Egret and her family with the passing of Wanda's sister-in-law, Hella Lindsay, and the service for Hella will be here in the sanctuary at 10 o'clock this coming Wednesday. Burial will be at the Berry Cemetery just across the street behind the Quick Trip. Also, Mike Ransdale, who normally attends the second service, he's going to be undergoing a hip replacement surgery in Jefferson City, Missouri, this Wednesday, the 8th of June, and you know, things are just so remarkably different than they used to be. He's going to be going in for the surgery in the morning, and he'll be leaving the hospital after they're finished, and he can go ahead and come on back home to Kansas City, all in that same day time frame. So it's just incredibly remarkable to think that doctors are saying you can do that now. Mary Jane Hagen, she had a fall at her home this past week, resulted in some injuries that are going to require rehabilitation of her left arm, shoulder, and her left hand. She was at St. Luke's up until about yesterday and is now home and will be beginning that rehabilitation at home. So please keep Mary Jane in prayer. We also remember Lois Strux. She is out of Liberty Hospital, but she is now in the rehabilitation at Tiffany Springs over off of Ambassador. We also want to lift up Jill Gregory, as she has now been able to move from North Kansas City Hospital to the Newmark Care Center. We also keep in prayer Larry Pitts, Sean Murphy, Suzanne Darling, Lon Anderson, Betty and Jerry Donahue, Joan Hamilton, John Adams, Rihanna Ralston, and our sympathies also extended to Ardith Haynes' sister, Arlene, as Arlene lost her husband this past week. So with all of these people upon our hearts, may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, in humility, we bow our heads before your presence this Pentecost Sunday. For this Lord's Day, we celebrate your Holy Spirit's presence as over 2,000 years ago, the apostles and other followers of Christ were in awe as they experienced the tangible evidence of your presence in the rushing wind, the tongues of fire, and in the speaking of familiar languages. On this Pentecost Sunday, our nation is so very much in need of your Holy Spirit's presence, as so many people are being destroyed at the hand of evil and demented perpetrators. We pray that your Spirit's presence will embrace and uphold the many families enduring the loss of dear loved ones. We pray that your Spirit's presence will heal and strengthen the bodies, minds, and spirits of those severely injured. We pray that your Spirit's presence will comfort the many so traumatized by acts of violence that no human should ever have to endure. We pray that your Spirit's presence will uphold the people of Ukraine and in other parts of the world as the rights of national sovereignty and personal dignity are being defended at the cost of a great sacrifice. In our time, as in so many other times in human history, O God, we are devastated by the destruction caused by demonic forces. But on this Pentecost Sunday, we also rejoice in your Holy Spirit's presence and guidance among us, and we especially pause to celebrate the truth that the great victory is already won in Christ, who is Lord and Savior for all eternity. For this truth, we rejoice as we recite the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Our communion hymn, Holy Spirit, Truth Divine, was composed by an American poet, Samuel Longfellow, to lift up the significant attributes of God, truth, love, power, peace, and joy. The hymn is a prayer to help believers discover these godly attributes as we may strive to incorporate them into the essence of our own lives by what we do and say. Partaking in the bread and the cup of the Lord's Supper every Sunday is also a way in which we can look upon the sacrificial life of our Lord Jesus and also strive to uphold the godly attributes that we see in his life. And we strive to continue that forward in what we do. Let's prepare our hearts and minds to receive the sacrament of the Lord's Supper as we turn to our communion hymn number 241. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 3 of Holy Spirit, Truth Divine. As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Kimberly leads us in a word of prayer.
Everlasting Father, your word states that as often as we eat this bread and drink the cup, we proclaim your death until you come again. We thank you for offering us this hope, even in your death. Thank you for this communion, which is a symbol of the realization of a spiritual union between us. Thank you for not only washing away our sins on the cross, but for welcoming us into a bond with you. We pray you bless this bread and this cup in Jesus' name. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. God proclaims in the text of Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 in the Old Testament, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need." With these thoughts in mind, David leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Our Father, we thank you for this day that we are able to gather here in your house and worship you. As we prepare to receive a portion of all you have given us, we ask that you bless the gift and the giver. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory, now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Kind of like a mile marker here for us, in that it was Pentecost last year that we were able to finally go back to having regular services and do the Lord's Supper and all the routine things, you know, that we had been missing out on for so long. It's just that last year, Pentecost fell about the middle of May. So it's been about a year now, if you will, that we have been able to kind of get back to some sense of routine and normal activities. And we're all just kind of crossing our fingers and hoping it sticks, right? You know, in the midst of what's going on. May we bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord God, on this Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate the blessedness of your Holy Spirit's presence, evidenced by the rushing wind and the tongues of flame above the heads of the believers. And as you desired to be intimately present among your followers that first Pentecost, may we truly believe that you desire to be equally present among all of us, this and every Lord's Day, as we offer praise and worship to your holy name. Amen. This is indeed Pentecost Sunday. In the Greek language, it comes in the New Testament from the word Pentecoste, which simply means 50 days. And Pentecost marks 50 days from Passover, in which Jesus transformed that event into the Lord's Supper on that Thursday prior to his crucifixion, his death, and then, of course, his resurrection on Easter Sunday. For the Jewish people of Judea, this second Jewish festival, 50 days after the first festival of Passover, is called the Feast of Weeks even today. It celebrates the first fruits of the wheat harvest. And every Jewish male within a specific distance of the Jerusalem temple was in that time and still today is required every year to attend the three solemn feasts of Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and also the Feast of Tabernacles. So imagine that. If you lived within a certain distance of the temple, you were required, and still are today, to go to these specific festivals. Imagine the commitment of resources it takes to pause from everything you're doing and make sure you do that three times a year. And even as Jewish people who live in foreign lands are always striving to make at least one pilgrimage back to Jerusalem during their lifetimes, and since this Feast of Weeks was in that time period in the biblical times, as it is today, the best season of the year for travel, Jerusalem was and still is today filled with pilgrims from many different countries. And since Jesus' apostles were still embracing their Jewish traditions, the 12 apostles had already journeyed back to Jerusalem from Galilee several days before the Feast of Weeks. This is why Jesus' ascension, which we spoke about two Sundays ago, happened on the Mount of Olives just north of Jerusalem on what we call Ascension Day, which again this year was a Thursday, 10 days ago. During the Feast of Weeks, Jesus' apostles and likely many other Jewish followers of Jesus were assembled in the outer steps of the Jerusalem temple. They were enjoying the festivities of the occasion while also talking about Jesus. When, as Luke the physician tells us in his gospel account, God's Holy Spirit came upon the believers, and the Jewish Feast of Weeks at that moment was transformed into what we now call the Day of Pentecost. So here is our text for this morning from Acts chapter 2, again written by Luke the physician, verses 1 through 3. When the Day of Pentecost came, all the believers were gathered together in one place. Now what was that one place? Archaeologists now believe it was the outer steps just outside one portion of the temple wall, because it was a common practice for people to gather and to listen to rabbis speak, with the rabbi being at the top of the steps and people assembled down the steps, and they could hear the sound of the person's voice better. And as I have shared on other Pentecost events, remember, there were those shallow pools just right adjacent to those steps. And when we had baptism of 3,000 people that day, the text tells us, where could they have been baptized? In those pools that were used for cleansing before the people proceeded up into the temple for the festival. You see, so God had all this planned out in a way that made great sense. So the text says that suddenly there was a noise from the heaven which sounded like a strong wind blowing, and it filled the whole house. Now, the word house here in the Greek language doesn't have to mean like the house that you and I live in. House here can actually be a temple. And so the text still fits the scenario. Filled the whole house where they were still sitting. Where were they sitting? Sitting on the steps while they were listening, you see. They didn't have chairs back in this time. You know, people sat down in a home. They sat on the floor. And they normally would recline, you know, like kids like to watch television, you know, with one elbow on the ground, lifting your head up, that sort of thing. So again, the text still fits the illustration of what we understand. And as the text continues, then they saw what looked like tongues of flame, which spread out and touched each person there. Luke's gospel account is the only written record that we have of the day of Pentecost. But in these few lines of scripture, we see that an amazing event took place. The Holy Spirit of God's living presence dwelt among the believers in a most dramatic way. God's presence is among Christ's believers in the form of wind and fire. Now, in our Western mindset, we think this is very unique and miraculous, but the significance of wind and fire would not have been lost in the minds of Jesus' apostles or any other Jewish people who were assembled there. For God had been represented in wind and fire on occasion after occasion throughout the tradition that is our Old Testament. For example, in a most dramatic way, God had already been present in the form of wind and fire, even as the Ten Commandments were delivered on Mount Sinai centuries before. In this Pentecost, let's first of all take a look at this idea of God's presence in the wind. Notice, this is not just some gentle, calming breeze that passes along the stairs. The text tells us that there is like a noise from where? A noise from the heavens, not just coming horizontal. There is a sound of a wind that's coming downward. And it is so significant to think that this is coming downward as if it's coming from God in the heavens to the people below, you see. And this rushing, mighty sound of a strong wind blowing certainly caught the attention of everyone, not only of the followers of Jesus, but certainly many of the other Jewish folks who were just there at the temple for the festivities of this particular Jewish event. God's living presence is expressed in a rushing, mighty wind. And so everybody is pausing and saying, "What's up? What is this?" In their Jewish heritage, God's living presence had time and again been manifested in a rushing, mighty wind that was believed to be under God's command. In Exodus chapter 10, verse 13, Moses was instructed by God to raise his staff into the sky. And the Lord caused the wind from the east to blow on the land of Egypt all that day and all that night. And by morning it had brought the plague of the locusts into the land of Egypt. So you see, the people knew then that God's power and presence was in the wind. God's providence over the wind is also expressed in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 15, as the text tells us, "The Lord will dry up the Gulf of Suez, and he will bring a hot wind and dry up the Euphrates." And again, that was a cast of judgment. And then, surely, even as this windy presence of God unfolded on this day of Pentecost, Jesus' apostles would have likely remembered that even Jesus had commanded over the wind, as the storm on the Sea of Galilee threatened to drown them. Mark chapter 4, verse 39 tells us, "Jesus awoke from his slumber on the boat, and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." So you see, there is the presence of God in the mighty forces of the wind. And this, again, is not just some calm breeze wafting across the area. It was a mighty rushing wind that came forth and caught everyone's attention on that first day of Pentecost. But let's look at God's presence in the fire. God's presence was represented by fire that encompassed Mount Sinai when God gave those Ten Commandments to Moses. As the text of Exodus chapter 19, verse 18 states, all of Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord had come down on it in fire. The smoke went up like the smoke of a furnace, and all the people trembled. And then in Isaiah's prophecy to the emperor of Assyria, there was a casting of God's judgment here in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 17. God, the light of Israel, would become a fire. Israel's holy God will become a flame, which in a single day will burn up everything, even the thorns and thistles. And of course, in the New Testament, God is represented in fire as believers are encouraged in Hebrews chapter 12 to be respectful of their worship to God. As the text states in verses 28 and 29, let us be grateful and worship God in a way that will please him with reverence and fear, because our Lord is indeed a consuming fire. So you see, with the wind that came rushing through and the tongues of flame that seemed to dance around, and again, we always have this idea that they're dancing on top of people's heads, but it's likely, from the way the text reads, is that these flames were just dancing all over. This was a mighty expression of God's presence. But on this first day of Pentecost, what the wind and fire are telling Christ's followers is that God desired to be very much present with them in a very personal, living relationship. On the day of Pentecost, the manifestation of God's Spirit in the wind and the tongues of fire dancing around them was not the presence of God simply dwelling inside the temple grounds. Instead, the wind and the fire of God's Holy Spirit dwelt among the believers. As I mentioned, they were on these steps outside the temple. And as the people were assembled there from 14 different countries, all of whom spoke different languages, Luke's account in Acts tells us that these followers of Christ were able to clearly comprehend one another's languages. It would be like me speaking in German, and although you know only English, when I'm speaking in German, you understand every word I'm saying. That's the essence of speaking in tongues here in this biblical account. The people of God on this first day of Pentecost became the new temple of God as 3,000 people from all walks of life and so many countries were baptized that day in those shallow pools right to the side of the steps, just outside the wall of the temple in Jerusalem. And why do we know this? Archaeologists have uncovered that area, and you can now see those pools and those steps. And for you and me, on this day of Pentecost, and every Pentecost Sunday, the wind and the fire of God's living presence are reminders that our loving God desires to be a living, up-close, and personal connection with every one of us today. Too many people adhere to the notion that, well, God is that big man upstairs, as if we believe that somehow we are so vastly separated from God. But that is not the way our God is. Our God wants to be up close and personal with every one of us. And that's why the blessing of the Holy Spirit, not only on Pentecost, but the blessing of the Holy Spirit in all of our lives is so very important. When do we receive the Spirit? when you make that confession of faith, it's like turning the light switch on so you can see with the lights. The Holy Spirit dwells in every human being. But when you make that confession of faith and when you desire to want to have a dynamic relationship with God, that Spirit of God is able to dwell with you, to guide you and instruct you. How does the Spirit guide and instruct? Sometimes it's within the consciousness, just a repetition of thought about something that we need to do or something we are compelled to proceed forward with. Sometimes the Spirit of God does speak in the still small voice. Sometimes the Spirit of God makes its presence known in visions. The Spirit of God can work in many ways. And what we need to believe is that the Spirit of God wants to be abiding with every one of us and has the power to do so despite all the stuff that's going on in the world. God is that up close and personal with us. As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, surely you know that you are God's temple and God's Spirit lives in you. Or in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, you live as the Spirit tells you to, if in fact God's Spirit lives in you. But how does the Spirit live? It's always there. How does it live in you? It's there. But have you made that confession of faith? Are you open to the Spirit's guidance and call? Just seek the Spirit in prayer, and the Spirit will guide you. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, today is that day where you can come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life will be transformed. Today can be your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship. I extend to you the invitation as we turn to hymn number 248. Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove. We'll sing all stanzas, please. 248. Thank you so much for being in the Lord's house on this Pentecost Sunday. We wish you the very best as you journey through the balance of the weekend and this new week. Also a reminder, this afternoon, 4 o'clock, the picnic here on the church grounds on the northern side of the property, or what we call the backside. We're just asking folks to please bring whatever is your favorite potluck and we'll share. I think, there's a chance of some showers through the day, but I think that's supposed to diminish about 2:30 is what I've seen on the weather. So we should have a good time this afternoon. Please, and again, one of the wonderful things about the picnic, it's a wonderful opportunity to kind of get to know people from the other service that you may not normally attend and get to know the other half of our congregation. May we pray. Lord God, your Spirit is with us, empowers us through the guidance and blessing of your Holy Spirit, and for this truth we give thanks as we depart, knowing that we are in your watchful care. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen.